Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, The Mage. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Murph. Say what's up to the people, Murph. Murph? Tino? Oh, that's right. They couldn't be here this week because they are being a bunch of little bitches. So anyway, we do have special guests with us. Let's welcome in first, Frank the Tank. Frank, how are you doing, Frank?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that you can join us for the show. I appreciate you filling in for the two lazy co-hosts, Skateboard Thugs. So I appreciate that.
I'm super happy to be here with your special guest. So I won't tip it off, but you can go on to the next guest.
Everybody today is a special guest because not only do we have one co-host, we got two co-hosts. Action Tap Jackson. What's up, Action?
What's up, buddy? I guess I'm going to fill in for Murph, being that I'm from the South also. So I'll try to get that Virginia twang going on for him.
Yeah, you're doing a great job already.
Don't mind my voice. I went bowling the other night, and for some reason it was like the most screaming and yelling we've ever done while bowling.
And the guest that Frank was alluding to, we got none other than SI's Nick Filato. Nick, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. You know, Murph, what the heck, bro? You couldn't come and join us, but you know what? We don't need you. But we got Frank the Tank, we got Tap, we got Mage. We're going to have a great time here.
Let's do it, boys.
Absolutely. Frank, Nick, you want to go ahead and plug anything?
Yeah, sure. So first off, the podcast that I'm part of the Big Blue View podcast stream. And then there's Big Blue Banter. It's myself and CBS's Dan Schneier. We go over the All-22 and the X's and O's of the New York Giants while also breaking down basically everything to do with the New York Giants and the NFL draft. And my writing can be found at Big Blue View with Ed Valentine and then with Sports Illustrated's Giants Country with Patricia Traina. So that's basically where I'm at. You can find me on Twitter at Nick Filato, F-A-L-A-T-O.
Yeah, if you don't already follow Nick, you're probably doing yourself a big disservice. So Nick does have a lot of good takes, especially if you're looking for upcoming draft stuff, which we are going to do today. Matter of fact, I saw Nick too. I mean, SI has Nick Filato's draft room? What was that? Or video room?
It's a link tree to all the reports that I've done over the last two drafts. So you can go back and read some of my stuff from last year and rip it apart if you guys would like.
No, I was looking for something the other day, and the first thing that pops up is like SI, like Nick Filato's like draft war room or whatever. And it was like an analysis breakdown. Who was it that I was looking at? Might have been Aaron Robinson or Rodarius Williams or something from last year. So it's
like good stuff.
Nick, man. All right, so what we're going to do here today, we're going to actually do a full first-round mock draft. We're actually going to cheat a little bit. We're going to go up to pick 36 just to see who's available for the Giants here. So I am sharing my screen with the rest of you guys. What we're going to do is we'll make the picks, the four of us. We'll just go through in a rotation, get through all the picks. And then Nick, if you want to provide a brief analysis on each one of the picks, a little more heavily on the Giants, so that this way, you know, this is a Giants podcast, feel free to be our guest, all right?
Yeah, so, we'll do. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, I miss having you on the podcast, Nick.
I know. I didn't do it last year. I never got the invitation, but 2 years ago we did it. That was the Andrew Thomas draft. It was fun.
Yeah, well, you got too big for us, I suppose.
So, right. Mage, just so I'm clear, we're doing what we think the teams are going to do, or, you know, what
or,
we've heard.
Or what would you do for the team? So,
as long as you have
some reasoning behind it, right? I mean, don't take a punter first overall. But if you have an idea that, hey, look, you know, Jaguars are going to probably go with Ekwonu first overall, I'm all for it, man. So whatever you think is best for the team here.
I mean, to be fair, there is a generational punter in this draft, is there not?
It's generational players at every position too. So, and we'll get Nick's opinion on that too. With the quarterback. So Nick will have the second pick. So that'll be interesting coming up with the Detroit Lions. So we'll see. All right. So Frank, you ready to kick it off, buddy?
Sure.
All right.
So
now entering the draft, and the Jaguars are on the clock. For the purpose of this mock draft, there will be no trades.
Okay. Your screen isn't showing the draft anymore. I don't know if that was intended.
All right, let's admit I moved it. There you go.
There we go. There you go.
Cool block timing, though, to be honest. That was a pretty cool background you had there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever comes standard with Microsoft nowadays. All right, Frank, you're on the clock, bud.
So either it's like the best kept secret or, you know, the worst kept secret that the Jags are taking Hutchinson. If I was the Jags and I had my generational quarterback, I think the Jags are going to take Evan Neal as a right tackle. I know they franchise their, is it Cam Robinson or whatever, their left tackle there. I still think they're going to take a tackle and shore up that line in front of their guy. Why wouldn't they? I don't see.
On the starting right side, they have the tackle they drafted out of Florida. It is last year. Jamar Taylor.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago. Yeah, he's still there right now. He's like he's not a great player. He's one that you're going to be – neither is Cam Robinson. They're both players you're looking to upgrade over. And the fact that they gave Cam Robinson the franchise tag shouldn't negate them from making this selection that Frank Tank is about to make. I think – I kind of think they're going to go the Aiden Hutchinson way, but if they went with Evan Neal or even – or Ikem Ekwonu, I think that makes a lot of sense, because the most important thing about Jacksonville is you have to make sure Trevor Lawrence doesn't have another wasted season like he did under Urban Meyer last year.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, Nick. I agree with you, Frank. Some of the earlier mock drafts I did, I had Ikem Ekwonu going first overall. So they did lose Andrew Norwell, but they replaced Brandon Scherff, so they replaced the interior of the line. They lose their center. So like Nick alluded to, they could have a hole at left tackle next year. So with that being said, Frank, what is your pick?
I'm going to take Evan Neal for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right. I love it, but I hate it being a New York Giants fan.
Yeah, I know. It's hard for me to get past my own bias, but I had to do it.
Do you think that if they take Neal, he'll play at the right tackle spot this year since Cam Robinson is already slotted in for the left tackle spot?
If you're asking me, Tap, I personally think they're going to go with Aiden Hutchinson. Because they also have Walker Little, the kid from Stanford that they drafted last year. He had a lot of injury issues in school, but he was one of the top recruits in his recruiting cycle. Depending on his health and how this new coaching staff views him, I think he would kind of be the swing tackle, with Taylor and Robinson being the two starters. But what you could also do is the other guard, I don't have his name in front of me, opposite of Brandon Scherff, you can play Evan Neal there the first year if you were to go in this direction, because Evan Neal has that kind of positional flexibility and that versatility to play multiple positions. So I honestly think if they were to go this direction, it's not a bad move. But personally, I think they would probably end up going with Hutchinson. But honestly, I'm happy that Frank the Tank went in this direction, because this makes the second pick a lot easier for me, because I wasn't sure where to go with that second overall pick if Hutchinson wasn't there.
All right, Nick. So what is your pick then?
Aiden Hutchinson. It makes a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons. He seems to be a Dan Campbell eat your kneecaps type of individual. He's also went to the University of Michigan, Detroit. That, you know, obviously the connection from a geographical standpoint makes a lot of sense, but it's also someone who's going to help get after quarterbacks. They're going to get after Aaron Rodgers, going to get after Kirk Cousins. And I think it's something that makes a lot of sense from a lot of different angles. Selling jerseys is also something in the NFL, but it's not like you're just choosing Aiden Hutchinson to sell jerseys. This is a top two player in the class for me right now, between him and probably Kyle Hamilton. So I feel good about going Aiden Hutchinson here at two.
So Murph, who's not here, he's a huge believer in conspiracy theory. So He thinks that the NFL is out to do everything they can to get Aiden Hutchinson to Detroit. But you did have the second pick. I was going to wait. I wanted to ask you, what do you think is a possibility of Malik Willis going number two to the Lions? That's been a lot of talk lately.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it is smoke, to be honest. I don't know the appeal for the Lions for that to be smoke. Maybe if they're trying to trade down because Aiden Hutchinson won't be there, they could possibly be entertaining that, having a team trying to trade up, possibly fall back down. Malik Willis, he has all of the physical gifts in terms of the arm talent and the ability to run and extend plays with his legs. And he's very, very physical with the football in his hands. There's so much more to playing the quarterback position than just that. And I think with Jared Goff there, it might ease his transition, but I don't know if they want to go in that direction right now. To me, Malik Willis, like if he was in last year's draft, this guy would be like the fifth quarterback, maybe just in front of Mac Jones, but it's also a, you know, upside floor ceiling type of argument that you can have, or debate, I should say, you can have with that. So I think it definitely could happen. I wouldn't mind it happening, but all Giant fans here. So I want to get your guys' take on this. Would you rather Malik Willis go two overall, and then that bumps another player down to the Giants at five? Or would you rather have the possibility of trading out of five and getting a haul and getting future picks? Because I think that is an interesting kind of thought process, or just thing to kind of bounce off of each other, because so, I can see positives for each.
So I'll say this. I mean, if, first of all, from the Lions perspective, I agree with you. I think I would probably go Aiden Hutchinson, because the Lions also have the Rams pick at 32. So if they are looking to kick the tires on a quarterback, they may have one there at 32, whether it's Sam Howell or Matt Corral. Somebody could fall to that pick. Now, from the Giants here, I know there's a lot of people are excited about the prospect of trading out of five. The difficult part there is, how far back are you trading? Now, if you are getting a future first-round pick, who are you trading that future first-round pick for? So if you're trading with the Steelers, how likely are the Steelers to have a high pick come 2023? So you could be picking again in the 20s. Is it really worth passing on a Kayvon Thibodeau or an Ike McQuanu at that point to get the collateral next year to potentially have the opportunity to move up for a quarterback? Let's face it, if there's a team that's picking either one or two next year, they're probably not that good, and they're probably one of those teams in a position to replace the quarterback.
Yeah, and so, that's where I think this becomes wildly interesting. And I mean, I have so many scenarios in my head, and I don't have one that I feel like that's the one that I want to happen. I can weigh the pros and cons of each scenario, but this thought that we're doing right now, I feel like you can go in each direction and come out with pros and cons. But you're right. Whoever's going to have the first overall pick, they may be like, yo, I'm getting, you know, CJ Stroud. I'm getting Bryce Young. Depends on how many quarterbacks. What if next year's class is like the 2021 class of quarterbacks, where there's like five guys that you're comfortable with, and all you got to do is trade up into the top five? Well, Giants might be there anyways. Hopefully not. But, it, you know, that still remains to be seen.
See, but it's so difficult, though, when you're talking about future prospective classes, right? Because this year, the two names that I heard most were Sam Howell and Spencer Rattler.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. And look at who we're talking about. We're talking about Malik Willis being, you know, possibly the cream of this crop. Although I think that Desmond Ridder is probably the best quarterback in this class right now, the most NFL pro ready. There's so many question marks. Even with Malik Willis, with his size, is he ready? He tends to be wildly inaccurate as well. Sam Howell, the height, you know, it coming out, is he kind of like another Baker Mayfield? There's nobody in this draft class really that you can say, you know, I really want that quarterback, or I'm going to trade up for that guy.
That's the I agree. What were you gonna say, Bob?
I'm personally all for trading out of five. Based on my scenario, it's kind of like, how far do we fall back, though? Ideally, what I would love is for Atlanta to come up to five to jump Carolina, and then hopefully they both take quarterbacks, and at seven, we still get who we want at five, who we would have gotten at five. That's kind of like my dream scenario.
I agree. I think that's best case scenario, though.
And they have two twos and two threes as well, Atlanta, from the trades with the Colts and everything like that. So that's a little bit more capital. You're probably not going to get a one, I'm imagining, for that trade.
Yeah.
But I would take that extra pick. And honestly, even if they drop back again, this isn't something I fully subscribe to, but I think it's an interesting idea. Say they drop, getting the right tackle is the main priority with one of those two picks, right? So if they're able to, if they're very high on a Charles Cross, say, and they think they can get a Charles Cross with two of those tackles still available when they pick at five and they could have that seventh pick, they can trade back, get all of that capital, get Cross at seven, and then have that other pick, say, at 20 or at 17 or wherever it would be, and then have a bunch more capital in this draft and in the following draft for more kicks at the can. I think that's also like an interesting way to kind of view this if they do not want to make, like Peter King suggests, two top 10 picks.
How would you feel about getting 16 and 19 from the Saints for five?
Yeah, see, that's something that I would definitely entertain. I would like to probably have a little bit more added into that, but they traded, you know, a decent amount to Philly in order to get that. But I would definitely entertain that trade, but I can also probably be talked out of it as well. It's not something that I feel like I would fully definitely subscribe to. I think a lot of it would depend on who's on the board. Like if Sauce Gardner was on the board and one of those tackles, I'm not sure. But then again, if Kayvon's actually going to fall as far as people are prognosticating, could the Giants do that and then possibly trade up to get Kayvon at like a 12 or a 13? I'm not 100% certain because Houston's always looking to trade back as well. I just think it's there's so many options and there's not one way to get to a successful or a positive pick. And I think Joe Shane is the kind of guy who can get us there.
So what you're saying, Nick, is that the draft can't get here soon enough.
Dude, it's April. I can't wait for it.
we are 23 days away. I just got my alert for my flight to Vegas. So,
oh, you're going?
Yeah.
Nice, Sap. That's dope.
So I got two points real quick.
Go ahead, Frank.
First thing, if the Saints, if say we were to trade with the Saints for those two picks and we moved out. What, Nick, what do you think the chances are that the Saints are actually moving up for a tackle versus a quarterback?
That's what a lot of people are speculating on now that Teron Armstead is with Miami. I mean, that's a team that was always predicated on their offensive line strength. They drafted Cesar Ruiz despite the fact that they had like the second best offensive line, and now he's having an impact as an interior offensive lineman. I think it makes sense. They want to jump Carolina. Now, say there's everyone inside of front offices, they have a general idea on how other teams view quarterbacks and stuff. Now, say they don't believe Carolina is going to go with the quarterback and they think Carolina is going to go with the tackle. Would they make that trade in order to do it? It's a lot to trade up for a non-quarterback, but we've seen trades like that in the past for non-quarterbacks. Julio Jones, I believe it was traded up for back in 2000 and what was that, 11? So we saw the Saints trade up for Marcus Davenport not long ago. They're very, very aggressive in terms, Mickey Loomis, in terms of trading. So I think it's something that could happen, but while the Giants, do they have a love at tackle? And they're like, well, you know what? We want this guy. So I think that's where it's right. Like the Giants going to the fact that they're at seven. If they love, say, all three of those tackles and one of those tackles would be there at seven, then that may entice them a little bit more to make that deal.
Yeah, I think the Giants would be very hesitant to trade back with the Saints. You know, if there's only one or two tackles left on the board and they wouldn't get somebody at seven, I think they would really I think they would make the pick. The other thing I wanted to bring up is there's already five teams next year that have two first round picks. So, you know, the fact that the Giants could get another first round pick next year, it doesn't guarantee anything. You know, it's going to be a bloodbath for whatever the quarterbacks are, you know, potentially available next year. So a lot of teams are positioning already.
That's a good point, Frank. And yep. All the teams that possess them do need quarterbacks pretty much.
So. For me, in order for us to get an additional first for next year, it just means this year we are dropping way too far. And that's kind of something that I don't want to do. I kind of want to stay within the top 20 range. And, you know, I obviously Pittsburgh is a decent trade partner, but they would be coming up all the way from 20, I think, right? So to get to five. And
yeah.
And Pittsburgh normally doesn't have that like top draft pick every year because Pittsburgh is always good.
That was the point that I made earlier, Tap. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if we made a trade with Pittsburgh, is it worth it? Because where you're right. Picking next year. Right. And yeah, you know, like Frank said, there are teams that already have two first round picks heading into next year. So yeah, you're going to be fighting with teams for the top quarterback. But let's keep this mock draft moving, though. Tap, you are on the clock. Houston with the third pick.
Houston with the third pick needs everything. So I'm going to go with BPA here, and I think I'm going to take Kyle Hamilton for the Houston Texans. Because to me, I think he's the best player in the draft. If you take away position, positional value and all that, I think Kyle Hamilton is the best player in the draft.
All right, well, that'd be a perfect situation for the Giants as well. Nick, do you like that pick?
Yeah, I think that pick makes sense because you got to look, they bring in Lovie Smith. He runs a lot of too high shell. That's something that Kyle Hamilton can do. You need somebody with range when the safeties are playing cover two, you know, jamming at the line of scrimmage, sinking. You need somebody who can cover over the top. And he's also somebody who's going to be able to execute any kind of run fit you ask him to. He's excellent in that area. And you need to replace Justin Reed, who just left. So I think it makes sense from a lot of different perspectives. I think they're a team that probably wants to trade back as well. I mean, they just accumulate more and more assets. But if they were to sit tight, I could see them going with a Kyle Hamilton or possibly even just like a freak of nature, like a Trayvon Walker, because Lovie Smith also loves, you know, those big physical edges where they usually run a lot of even fronts, and he's somebody who could really fit as that 4-3 type of end in that situation.
Trayvon Walker was someone that I would hope if we trade with the Saints that we could get him around 16, 19.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be there, though, Tap. That's the unfortunate thing. Someone's going to take a roll of the dice, and it's definitely a projection because he doesn't have the production. So you're taking a risk when you're drafting somebody who doesn't have production. But it's mainly because he was a part of that Georgia scheme that didn't necessarily maximize his incredible gifts that he possesses. But, like, if you were to tell me, or, like, 2 years from now, the best player, defensive player from this draft ends up being Trayvon Walker, I wouldn't be shocked. But that's pure projection at this point.
One of my favorite defensive players from this draft is Jordan Davis.
Yeah, big Jordan Davis, man. He's fun, dude. He's fun. You put him in the middle, you can put him at three technique, you put him at four eye, put him at nose. He can do a lot of different things. I'm actually really curious on where he's going to go in this mock draft and in real life because I don't necessarily have a firm beat on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the Jets on the clock with the fourth pick, now here's something that for the Jets, in my opinion, I did a live mock draft with the Hub too. And I was also in this position. Maybe I was talking about it on the podcast. I don't know. I think the pick that makes the most sense for the Jets here is to go get the wide receiver. If they take a guy like Sauce Gardner, you're really slapping lipstick on a pig. And you're adding him to that defense that isn't very good right now. I mean, he's going to stick out like a sore thumb. Does it make them better? Yeah, but I don't know how much better it makes them. I think they need to build around that quarterback. But for the sake of this mock draft, the Jets, again, I think screw over and fuck the Giants. I take Kayvon Thibodeau.
I think that makes sense. I think they're going to go edge as well, to be honest, because they're a team that, you know, Robert Saleh, the defenses that he had in San Francisco, what did they have? They had Nick Bosa. They had Eric Armstead. They had DeForest Buckner. They had gigantic, huge, long edge rushers. That's why, again, Trayvon Walker makes sense for this. I think a Jermaine Johnson even makes sense. Maybe a little bit of a reach in some people's minds, but I think he's another edge rusher that would fit well with what Saleh wants to do. So if they think that he would be there at 10 and they wanted to get ahead of the Falcons and these other teams that want to select a receiver, then you go receiver here. But you're never going to hear me complain about someone selecting a Kayvon Thibodeau because I feel like right now with all this he doesn't love football talk and this is all media stuff, I don't know how the NFL views it, he's going to be dropping down these boards and someone's going to get a value of one heck of a football player.
Hopefully it's the New York Giants at 7. So hopefully. But again, to your point, the Jets desperately tried to trade for an edge rusher last year, and you know, they traded for Shaq Lawson and they end up losing him this year. So the edge makes sense here. Edge is kind of an irreplaceable position on defense. Even if your defense isn't that good, it can elevate your defense, I think, more than a cornerback could. So, and they'll pair him with Quinn and Williams, et cetera. All right, Frankie, you are on the clock. Giants, fifth pick. Before we get to your pick, though, so, Nick, this is where I want to ask for a little bit more about your analysis. Given the board right now, where it is, anything surprising in the top four? Do you like where the Giants are sitting at five right now?
I do. I would like for Evan Neal to be around because, again, I don't like being like, yo, we need.
Damn it, Frank.
Yeah, I don't like I like the fact that it's not there because then it opens up for really interesting conversation. But I don't like being like the Giants need to select this because you kind of pigeonhole yourself into a situation where you're not really getting the best player available. But they need a right tackle, and I think they know that. And there are three right tackles, or just tackles, I should say, because some of them haven't played right tackle, that I would be comfortable with. And with this fifth pick, it's interesting because Evan Neal to me is my number one tackle. I don't think he's the best pass protector. I think Charles Cross is a better pass protector. He's not the best run blocker either, Evan Neal. I think Ikem Ekwonu is a much better run blocker than he is. But I feel like the deficiencies that Ekwonu has in pass protection and the projection that Charles Cross is coming from an air raid system, with never playing right tackle, same basically with Ekwonu. I feel like that gives me this little just uneasy feeling, whereas Evan Neal is a much more well-rounded player. But if we're sitting here like this and you want to go your right tackle, and say if the Giants aren't going to trade the seventh pick, you can have your pick of Cross and Ekwonu right here and then go with a Sauce Gardner or an edge or whatever the heck you really want to do. I feel like the Giants are in a pretty good position here. And you're not going to hear me ever complain about probably Ekwonu, even though I wish he was a little bit better in pass protection. I feel like probably as a Giants fan base, we don't talk about that deficiency enough, but it is real on his tape.
Well, this right now is a perfect situation for the Giants for what Tap or Frank were alluding to earlier. This is the perfect trade situation. You got Ekwonu, you got Cross sitting on the board with the fifth pick. No quarterbacks have been taken. Now, this is the time for somebody to pay up, come up, get the first quarterback off the board if you feel like Atlanta is going to take one. And the Giants will still have their pick, even if the decision is made for them by Carolina. Giants will still have their pick of either Cross or Ekwonu at seven. And then if there is a slide, a Jermaine Johnson or Trayvon Walker, the Giants will be able to pick that up later on in that draft with that pick up that edge later on in the draft. So, Frankie boy, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, Frankie? Ideally, I would love to trade out of this spot right now. But, I mean, I'm happy to take Ekwonu with the number five pick. I think, you know, as a right tackle – you know, he shores up that side. You know, I know he's not the best pass blocker, but, you know, he can help get the run game going. What's his name? Glowowski? I can't remember. How do you pronounce his name?
Glowinski.
Glowinski, yeah, that guy. I mean, they're both going to be, you know, solid run blockers on that side, and I think it'll help get things moving. And, you know, I think a lot like Andrew Thomas last year, I think Ekwonu may have the most upside or the most, you know, he's not a finished product yet, where I think the other two guys may be a little more finished products. And with a couple of years in the league, I think Ekwonu could be a real solid tackle.
Yeah. And I like that call too, Frank. You're right. There's still a lot of meat on that bone of development right there for Ekwonu. And if he learns the nuances of being a pass protector, is a little bit more disciplined, uses his hands a little bit better, doesn't really open his gate prematurely, all the little issues that he kind of had in college, you're talking about someone who would be a very good tackle. And then your worst case scenario is what? You have an all-pro guard. Like, that's your worst case scenario. So I like this selection right here. And this is also someone who had scholarships to Yale and Harvard. This isn't a dum-dum, you know what I mean? So he's going to take the coaching, and reportedly has an infectious personality and people love him, which you love to hear.
I had no idea that he had scholarship offers to Yale and Harvard.
He's a smart guy.
Well, to be fair, I mean, our offensive coordinator had a degree from Princeton, and yeah. That didn't go very well for us.
Casey Garrett taking strays.
previous offensive coordinator. That's not good.
Right, yeah. So the Giants – so I had this conversation privately with Nick, and I think Nick may have geared me more towards taking Charles Cross over Ekwonu only because pass protection has really been our Achilles heel. You know, on this offensive line, run blocking has always been better than our pass protection. So I think I'd probably favor Cross, but Frank makes a lot of good points about the development still being there. Hopefully Bobby Johnson is a guy that can, get the most out of him. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've technically had a higher grade on Icky, and I love how Frank Tang kind of went over Icky, and I think it's smart to look at it that way. But I feel like the narrative among a lot of Giant fans, at least maybe like a month ago, was they can't go Charles Cross. He's the third best tackle in this draft. And I'm like, dude, like my grades with these guys, I have Evan Neal a little bit higher, but Cross and Icky, they're close. And I think a lot of it is, you know, pass protection versus run blocking, but at the same time, you got to look at development and what they can grow into, like Frank the Tank said. So if the Giants end up with Cross, I'm not going to be like, oh, darn it, we suck. But it is also a projection because the air raid is so much different than what he's going to be doing here in the NFL.
I'm going to ask you a question, Nick. I play-by-play the defensive side of the ball. Ideally, in my opinion, I think it's easier to develop as a run blocker than as a pass blocker. Would you disagree?
No, I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, it's you're more attacking. You're going forward as a run blocker, whereas you're going backwards as a pass. There's a lot more nuance and discipline that is required with going back. Yeah, and technique and all those things.
Absolutely. So that's why also, too, I would favor the pass blocker over the run blocker. I think that it's easier to develop as a run blocker than it is in pass protection. So with that said, though, Nick, you are on the clock. Six pick Carolina Panthers. Do they take their quarterback here?
You know what? I think they might because they need a lot. And I don't know how much Matt Rhule has a say in this, but that guy needs to be like, bro, I can't go into this season with this dude, freaking Sam Darnold, as my quarterback. We have no other draft capital because we traded for this guy. Like, I need to do something to at least attempt to reinvigorate this fan base to get on my side, which I think Matt Rhule is probably the favorite to be fired first off, right? I think they need a tackle and they need a quarterback. So I'm really, really debating two guys right here, Malik Willis and Charles Cross. And I know Kenny Pickett has his ties with Matt Rhule because he recruited him when he was at Temple before he left for Baylor. And then Pickett flipped and ended up going to Pitt. I know David Tepper is a Pittsburgh alum. I hear reports that I don't know how true it is, that Malik Willis is now their number one, even over a Kenny Pickett. But for this circumstance, I'm going to go with Malik Willis here. I think Charles Cross is probably the smarter pick, but let's roll with Malik Willis, get him in there and see what happens.
Yeah. So my scouts that I talked to in the NFL, even more recently, they all have Kenny Pickett still as their number one quarterback. So, but again, the hype sometimes is too much. It's driven by too many people. So Malik Willis could definitely be the number one quarterback taken on the board here.
Yeah, so it's all about the physical gifts that he possesses. Because like I said, like I haven't done an evaluation on Willis's tape, so I want to kind of reserve my judgment. But from what I've seen, and I've watched all of his interceptions, obviously those are negative plays, but he really struggles to account for defenders coming from other positions. And he kind of zones in on one thing. And the offense that he ran at Liberty with Hugh Freeze is so rudimentary compared to what he's going to have to do in the NFL. There's going to be a huge kind of jump in the NFL level, but he's still going to be a playmaker. He's still going to be someone who can make plays for you because he's that naturally gifted in terms of his athletic ability and his ability to extend plays. I think he's going to be somebody who's going to be mistake prone, but who can probably be very exciting for your franchise.
Do you think his arm is overrated?
I'm sorry?
Do you think his arm is overrated?
I don't think his arm is overrated.
Reason why I asked that is because as pro day, when he's running down the field with his finger in there celebrating, he put a lot into that throw compared to Zach Wilson's flick of the wrist last year, 70 yards downfield. Like, Zach Wilson is more of a natural passer. Malik Willis had to put a lot into that throw to get it to where it was. So, I mean, he could still have a big arm while not being the deepest passer.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he can still have a lot of arm strength as opposed to, the deep ball. But I feel like a lot of his traits that people are so enamored with are a bit inflated as well.
Yeah. But what do you expect to happen at the pro day? That's like my thing. It's like he's going to throw well in his shorts and his underwear. Like that's something that's going to happen. I don't really get enamored by that. But I will say that throw that Zach Wilson did have at his pro day was one of the best throws I've ever seen. He was falling backwards with his feet not stationed, and he flicked it like 60 yards down the field and hit the dude in stride. Like I'm becoming enamored by that throw just because it is so unconventional. But when you put everything into it, the full torque, your hips, your back, everything into it, it's going to go far if you're an NFL quarterback who has that type of physical traits. And Malik Willis has that type of physical traits. He just doesn't have the experience in a real NFL type of system. And there's going to be a little bit of cleaning up to do once he gets to the NFL level. But he's a great kid. So
his elusiveness really stood out to me. I mean, that is something that just comes super natural to the kid, especially as a Giants fan watching Daniel Jones for the last, you know, 3 years. It's like, you know, Daniel Jones lacks pocket awareness, and Malik Willis seems to have eyes like all around his head when it comes to just, he's naturally elusive though. So I agree with you there. Frank, you had a question?
I was just going to say, you know, I was going to ask Nick, do you think that Malik Willis is a guy that comes in and starts this year? I mean, if you're putting Matt Rhule on the hot seat and he goes and drafts a quarterback, he's going to be forced into playing this guy who is definitely not NFL ready from day one.
Ideally, no. And I think that's why Pittsburgh is probably his best landing spot. You have Mitch Trubisky for a year, possibly 2 years under the 2 year contract, and he can learn with a stable coaching staff and a stable locker room. Whereas Carolina is probably not his best landing spot because you have a desperate coaching staff. I think Malik Willis would probably not start week one, maybe not week two, but Sam Darnold, and then he'll probably get thrown to the fire and he'll be able to make plays for you, but he's not going to be a complete quarterback. And now that Tom Brady's back in that division, I mean, what's the realistic chance that Carolina is going to make a push for that division? I mean, it's very, very slim. But the Falcons are kind of a mess. The Saints, what are they doing? We were not really 100% sure. So I think it would be a purely desperation type move, but I wanted to do this because I am curious on where Charles Cross ends up in this mock draft as well.
I mean, the one thing we need to remember is that Carolina has Mr. Big Ben McAdoo now as the OC and coach waiting in line. So, you know, will we see what Ben McAdoo can do with the type of quarterback that he essentially dreams of?
And that's a great point to tap, because what did Ben McAdoo want in New York? He wanted a mobile quarterback. And what also did he do? Something that Malik Willis is going to need. He really fixed Eli Manning's footwork. I mean, we bash Ben McAdoo, rightfully so, but he's not an inept coach. He actually did a good job as an offensive coordinator.
He was a terrible leader.
He was a terrible leader. And Pat Shurmur was also not that great of a leader. Right. And you got Joe Judge in there. So. Yeah, yeah. And then Joe Judge came in. He had leadership qualities, but it all kind of crumbled underneath him. And now we're hoping that Brian
Dable. Good leader, terrible coach.
It's just the Giants haven't been able to figure that part out quite yet.
But guys, what do we do here? Let's run a sneak.
Dude, that was honestly, though, man. And I said this at the time, and I felt like I was on an island. I was like, dude, I didn't want Jake Fromm to throw the football there. Like, I think you can hand the ball off, but in the week prior, they tried that, and then the Bears just ended up getting the safety on them. It was like the Giants were so inept offensively this year that their best option was just not to shoot themselves in the foot. And that is wildly embarrassing, so freaking embarrassing. And that's why they ended up running that quarterback sneak, because if they ran the football, there was probably going to be somebody penetrating the A, the B, and the C gap to get a safety on Saquon Barkley or Booker.
Yeah, the Giants have been pretty unfortunate as of late. But Tap, you are on the clock with the Giants' seventh pick. Do you take Charles Cross then? That's it. Just take all the tackles. Fix the offensive line.
Well, my idea going into this draft with, if we pick at 5 and 7, ideally I want to walk away with BPA on defense and a tackle. You know, hopefully what ideally I want is I want Kayvon and, you know, either Neal or Icky. You know, obviously they're both gone. With 7, looking at this board right now, it's a toss up for me, man. It's either Sauce or Charles Cross. And
nice for me,
I guess I would have to take Cross at 7 to shore up.
You're taking Cross even though that Frank took Aquano.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I totally just blanked out for a second. I am sick. I have been yelling from bowling. So since we have Aquanu at 5, I'm going to go with Sauce Gardner.
Love Sauce it. Gardner?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Nick. What's your analysis on the pick?
I love that, Tap. So on Big Blue Banter, Dan and I, we talk about it ad nauseum at this point. The the Giants need cover corners, man coverage corners. That's what Wink Martindale loves to do. He loves to bring the pressure. He loves to run cover one, sometimes cover zero. So you need somebody who can play man coverage on the outside. To me, Sauce Gardner might be the best man coverage corner, with a caveat to Derek Stingley, who is kind of a unique case with his injuries and the fact that his best tape was 2019. So, but Gardner just in general, man, he's long. I haven't gotten done with this film, but from everything I see, he's long. He can press at the line of scrimmage. He can probably clean up a few things with that, but I have full confidence that he'll be able to. And I love the attitude that he has and the ability to execute multiple different coverages. And if you look at Baltimore, they have Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, and they also had Marcus Peters. And a lot of them are injured this year. Marcus Peters got injured at training camp. Wink Martindale's defense fell apart. But in order for this defense to really thrive, you need guys who can play man coverage on the outside. And that's something that Ahmad Sauce Gardner can do. And I think he can be one of those just staples. Plug him in. It'll be him and Adoree Jackson. Jackson can handle the ones if there's a transition period for Sauce, but eventually Sauce will handle the ones. And then you have a 1-2 now that Adoree Jackson had his contract extended, who might be around for quite a while. That is a good 1-2 punch with Aaron Robinson as your three, another guy who can play man coverage. So if the Giants come away from this, I think I want to trade back, but if they do come away with Gardner and one of those tackles, preferably Evan Neal, I'm going to be happy. I am. If they do make both of those selections, because I think that will really help the team. It helps the defense, helps what Wink wants to do, and also obviously shores up that offensive line.
All right. So I got a couple follow-up questions about the defense here, and then let's see if we could try to burn through the rest of this mock draft, because I want to try to get to a 36 pick if possible.
Gotcha.
If Sauce Gardner with the Jets, let's say the Jets happen to take Sauce Gardner at 4, how do you feel about Derek Stingley to the Giants in the same situation?
So it would all depend on things that I don't know about. It would be how medicals. Medicals, how he is in meetings, how he takes to coaching. I haven't heard great things about Stingley's, like those kind of things about him. And I don't really, I don't like kind of giving analysis on that because it's not me talking to this kid. I don't know. He could be a great kid for all I know. So it would all come down to that. But in terms of what I saw in 2019, you'd be getting a great man coverage corner with excellent ball skills. This is somebody who was just stepped onto campus, onto one of the best defenses in college football, won the national championship as one of the best players on the team. Like that is some BDE. You know what I'm talking about, man? That is some real stuff right there for Derek Stingley. But Brian Daboll, you know it, bro. So I don't know. It would have to come down to all those things. If they were comfortable, then yeah, I would be comfortable with it. But I would definitely have those little caveats to be like, yo, dude, this, and this need to check out. And if they don't,
all right. So one more question for you. Let's say at 7, the Giants decide to go Trayvon Walker. And the Giants trade James Bradbury. Who is starting opposite Adoree Jackson for the New York Giants as a boundary corner?
So I think it would be Aaron Robinson to start, something he did in college at UCF. And I think he has the traits to be an effective man coverage corner. From the film we saw last year, I think we saw a solid player who was ascending, but this is somebody who didn't have training camp. He was injured basically the whole season. Yeah, it was just on fire. So I like Aaron Robinson. I think he can do a lot of different things. Ideally, I wouldn't want him as the number two, but you know, we don't live in an ideal world.
I agree with you. Now, a lot of people throw out Rodarius Williams. I think he plays too big. He's too high in his defense. I think he's going to get burnt on the outside. I think he's probably better for maybe one of those, you know, package substitutes. But what's your opinion on Rodarius Williams playing outside?
I think he's a good developmental guy who can step in when injuries happen. But if the Giants go into the season with the limited Rodarius Williams that we saw last year, I probably wouldn't feel too great about it. I mean, I'm much higher on Aaron Robinson, so I would hope Robinson would get that chance. But the fact that you got Rodarius in the 6th round, that's an excellent pick, an excellent value pick, somebody who can play snaps if you need him to. I ideally don't want him to if the Giants are going to be good.
Yeah, I think he plays too high, though, to play outside. Yeah,
He does.
And the other name, too, which I like, which we did a write-up on for SI, Darnay Holmes. Darnay Holmes played a lot outside. People think of him because of his height and everything more as a nickel corner or in the slot or as a slot corner. But he played boundary in UCLA, correct?
He did, and he was pretty good at it, to be honest. My issues with Darnay, and I feel like he was taking steps before that injury. I mean, the interception he had against Philly was really, really nice. He does get a little grabby, which, you know, a lot of players do, But the reason why I'm a little bit pessimistic about him being a boundary cornerback isn't necessarily just the height, but it's the, like, what is it, second percentile arm length that he has, which I do think is important. I think ideally you want him to be a slot. I love his ability and run support. I think he, pound for pound, is a very, very good tackler, a la Grant Haley when he was with the Giants. Remember how good he was as a tackler, although I think Darnay has a much higher upside as a coverage player. I think he's a good player to have as a depth piece on your roster, and I wouldn't want to really rely on him. If I had to rely on any of those three players, it would be Aaron Robinson on the outside. That is.
I agree with you on all points. So, all right, let's move on. Falcons are now on the clock with the 8th pick. I am making this pick for the Falcons. You know, curse me out. Do what you want. Atlanta Falcons select Drake London.
USA. I wanted to say this, Madge. How does PFF on their needs not have just wide receiver as their number one when the Falcons were up there?
Well, actually, you know, it's funny because I think the needs came out like early on in the season before free agency and everything. So okay. I don't think that the needs have been updated, but now, the reason why I take Drake London here is because, you know, the Falcons went and got Mariota, signed him to a 2-year deal. He's back with Arthur Smith. They're going to miss Calvin Ridley for an entire season. They also went out and they got Kyle Pitts last year with the 4th overall pick. They're not afraid to draft the offensive players. At this point here, I really don't see them maybe going anywhere else. They could possibly take an edge like Trayvon Walker. But for the Atlanta Falcons, I'm giving them the wide receiver, first wide receiver off the board. They pass on quarterback. They got Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I think that's the pick to make. Right now, I'm pulling up their wide receiver depth chart. I don't mean to laugh. I don't want to be, you know, an ass. But it's Olamide Zaccheaus, Auden Tate, Demir Byrd, Frank Darby, Chad Hansen. Like, they need a wide receiver. And then it's eight is the prime pick for a wide receiver, the first wide receiver off the board. And you have your pick. It could be Drake London if you want a big contested catch guy. If you want more of a tactician of a route runner, you can go with a Garrett Wilson or a Chris Olave, who can also take the top off of defense. I think they can have their pick there. And the Jets are probably sitting there at 10 like, yo, you better not take our guy because they're probably going to go wide receiver as well.
Yeah, I think so it would probably be between Garrett Wilson and London for me. But again, I like their ability to, you know, be able to throw the ball up, go ahead and get that possession type of wide receiver. So, and Drake London is there. You mentioned who they have, but Bird is a burner. Yeah, I think some of the other guys that they have are a little bit undersized as well. So,
yeah, outside of Auden Tate has pretty good size, but
I forgot that they signed him. Yeah. From Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. All right, Frank the Tank, Seattle, on the clock, 9th pick.
So this is where things get a little sketchy for me because I don't know what all these teams need. But and like you're saying, the needs are kind of – I know they need a quarterback, right? But I don't know that there's a quarterback worthy of taking this high in the draft right now. Stingley seems like he's probably the highest-rated player. I think they have Dwayne Brown at one of their at their left tackle spot. I don't know who they have at their right tackle spot.
Russell Wilson requested out of Seattle because of the offensive line. So offensive line has been a need for the last few years. So I don't think you could go wrong there.
Yeah, Dwayne Brown's not there anymore either, Frank the Tank.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
Their starting tackles are Jake Curran and Stone Forsythe.
Who?
Stone Forsythe is a kid from Florida. They drafted in like last year. And then Kern, I can't remember exactly what school he was, but I remember he was down at the Senior Bowl. He's not somebody you want starting.
Okay. Great name, though.
All right.
Great
so name. That makes things a little easier for me. I was leaning Devin Lloyd because they let Bobby Wagner walk, but it might be a little bit too early for him in the draft, too. So I guess I will take Charles Cross here for the Seahawks, which. Before we started this draft, I didn't think Seattle would have a chance at an offensive tackle in the first round. So
in some of the mock drafts I did, I also had Seattle taken Cross when he fell in the ones that I did too. I think tackle is a good need here for them. Nick, you are on the clock with the Jets. See, now this is a situation for them. So the Jets did take Kayvon Thibodeau earlier with the 4th overall pick. Would they have been better off possibly taking a tackle to protect Zach Wilson? We know that they got George Fant. They have Becton, who can't stay healthy. Would they have been better going in another direction and then possibly taking Jermaine Johnson or Trayvon Walker here with the 10th pick.
Yeah, so
with the call is yours.
Yeah, so with the 4th pick, they went with – who'd they go with again?
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah, it was Kayvon. So, yeah, that's what I thought. So, with Kayvon Thibodeau there, because I think Jermaine Johnson would fit in excellent with Robert Saleh's defense, but I'm not going to double up or do any of that because they have needs at corner. They definitely have needs at wide receiver because you got to look at what have the Jets done. They were reportedly the team that contacted the Chiefs when they had a deal constructed until Miami just outbid them for Tyreek Hill, and it wasn't even an outbid. Tyreek Hill's like, bro, I ain't going to go to Florham Park, New Jersey. Bring me down to South Beach, bro. So he ends up going to Miami. I think they want to get an alpha number one dog for Zach Wilson to pair with Corey Davis, who is better as a 1B rather than a 1A. And then you have Elijah Moore, who you can move around and you can do whatever the heck you really want with Elijah Moore because he's insanely talented, in my opinion, anyways. So it just depends on which direction would you like to go. And I'm going to go with somebody who probably might not be available week one, but he fits a Tyreek Hill type of mold, which would really mesh well in New York with the absolute cannon that Zach Wilson has attached to his shoulder. Going with Jameson Williams out of Alabama. And I know he has the ACL. He's recovering. He tore his ACL in January in the national championship game. But I'm still going to go with Jameson Williams here because I think this is the type of player that they're looking for. Now, could they have selected somebody else and then got a Calvin Austin a little bit later? Sure. But Calvin Austin isn't Jameson Williams. And I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about Jameson Williams because of the injury. Rightfully so, maybe. But I still think he's somebody who will make an impact in year one once he is fully healthy. And now you have a 1A to kind of really assist Zach Wilson in his development.
And ACLs aren't the death sentence that they once were either. So,
No, they're not. And I'm not a doctor, but they showed him down at the pro day and the dude was like jumping around and he can't run quite yet, but he's reportedly ahead of schedule on his progress.
How do you like Derek Stingley there for the Jets as well, too, going cornerback if they added Kayvon Thibodeau? So two pieces on that defense certainly make that defense a lot better, too.
Yeah, so actually, I think Trent McDuffie might fit a little bit better with what Robert Saleh, at least what he did in San Francisco, and I don't have the evidence in front of me as to what the Jets ran with the this last season. I know they have Bryce Hall as a cornerback who was solid, and they definitely need cornerback help, but that defense is more predicated on getting after the passer rather than coverage. I feel like they brought in the kid who was a J.R. Reed. They brought in somebody from Seattle who's going to be a solid cornerback for them. I think they can wait on cornerback. Here they can get their pick of wide receiver other than Drake London, who already went. And the Jets also have, I don't have it in front of me, but they have early, I think two early second round picks, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. All right. Sounds good. Tap, you are making the pick for the Washington Commanders.
Commanders.
Terrible. So with the new branding, and I feel with
this is the only pick I'll allow you to go punter.
Well, with everything that's going on, I feel like with Washington, I'm gonna go with Kenny Pickett here for them. New face of the franchise, new name. Kind of just want to forget about everything that Dan Snyder is going through. So I think the if they go with Pickett here, it might make sense for them.
All right. I don't hate it. In my mock drafts, I keep mocking Sam Howell to the Washington Commanders. So I definitely don't hate it. I like where your head's at with it. Nice job there. So with the Vikings on the clock with the 12th pick, I mean, this player is still sitting out there. It's almost a no-brainer. Trayvon Walker to the Minnesota Vikings. They need help at their edge position there. So Trayvon Walker seems like a nice fit, slides right in. And by the way, Giants got the Vikings defensive line coach as well. So,
yeah, that makes a ton of sense. They've been looking for another Danielle Hunter for so long, and they're literally like very, very similar players in terms of players that did not have a lot of production in college. When Danielle Hunter came out of LSU, I think he had like 3 sacks or something like that. So he fell to like the 4th round, and look at him. He's one of the better edge rushers in the league. Trayvon Walker also wasn't all that productive at Georgia, but you pair those two together down there in Minnesota, and you have two very long and dominant edge rushers.
They also lost their other defensive end. The name's escaping me right now, but the guy that had the mental
– Everson Griffin?
Yes, right, correct. So Trayvon Walker being on the clock at 12 to the Minnesota Vikings just makes a ton of sense to me. Frank the Tank, you are on the clock with the Houston Texans 13th pick. See if we could pick this up a little bit.
They took Kyle Hamilton. Okay, they took the safety earlier. Can you just scroll down just a little bit on the, the list? I really like Carl Loftus here, but I'm kind of going between him and Jordan Davis for Houston. I think I'm going to go Carl Loftus for the Texans. I just like how he fits. I think he's kind of a almost like a J.J. Watt kind of replacement. I know he's not quite as big, or I mean, he's not J.J. Watt, but I think he fits in there, and they need everything. So, and Lovie Smith's a defensive coach. So,
all right. I mean, this is almost scary. I mean, Nick, I would almost predict this pick for you. So, but let's see what you choose for the Baltimore Ravens at 14.
Yeah, so my mind goes in two different directions here, but I think I'm just going to make it easy and go with Jordan Davis here for Baltimore because they've
lost. That's exactly who I was thinking.
Yeah, they lost Calais Campbell. They lost Justin Ellis for what it's worth. And I just think he makes a lot of sense for what they did, at least under Wink Martindale. You have Mike McDonald coming in from Michigan. He learned a lot under Martindale when he was with the Ravens staff before accepting the Michigan DC job. So I think that just is a pick where the Ravens just
get a great player. Richer.
Yeah. No.
I mean, Jesus, they always seem to step into it. Last year, too, I wanted Ben Cleveland so bad, and somehow he ends up with the friggin' Baltimore Ravens. It's like, Jesus, man. But I think we took Aaron Robinson. I think Cleveland went in the third. So I think
Ben I'm glad that you took Jordan Davis ahead of the Eagles, though. I'd rather him not be in Philly. Oh,
that would be devastating. Maybe that was one reason why I did it, too.
All right, Tap, you're on the clock with another NFC East rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. What are you doing here?
Oh, this is annoying. What I would really hate this, but I think they would go with Devin Lloyd here.
Yeah, I would agree, especially with one or two picks. Although I find it hard with them needing the help outside at cornerback, too. I think
Jared Stingley. Yeah, it was a toss-up. It was a toss-up between Stingley and Lloyd, but, you know.
All right, Devin Lloyd it is.
Eagles draft well, you know, they draft well and they move well. And I think Devin Lloyd is the better player. And I think they will go with Lloyd over Stingley here.
Gives them that pass rush ability, kind of like a poor man's Michael Parsons.
Right.
So, all right. I am on the clock with the New Orleans Saints at 16. Sorry, but New Orleans gets their quarterback. I'm going with Desmond Ridder for the New Orleans Saints.
Love Desmond Ridder, man.
Desmond Ridder, New Orleans Saints, 16th overall pick. Frank, you are on the clock with the San Diego. San Diego. My goodness, am I old school? Los Angeles Chargers with the 17th pick.
Let's see. So they need a right tackle. Scroll down just a little bit. Where the heck is he? Trevor Penning. I'm going to take Trevor Penning for the San Diego, the LA Chargers.
All right. San Diego on the clock with Trevor Penning. All right. Let's see. Nick, now you get to pick for our NFC East rival, Philadelphia Eagles. What are you doing here?
Okay. So Derek Stingley Jr. is still on the board, and that sucks. So is Trent McDuffie, who is a little bit safer, and that also sucks. But they also need a wide receiver. I think they can probably wait for wide receiver, even though they've drafted two wide receivers in the first round last 2 years. One's good, the other not so much. I'm going to go with Trent McDuffie, the cornerback out of Washington, who I think would thrive in a lot of what Jonathan Gannon likes to do out there.
Yeah, so Trent McDuffie is one of the players, along with Devin Lloyd, that I had the Philadelphia Eagles drafting when they had three picks. David Ojabo was another one prior to the injury that I had going to Philadelphia in that range. So I do like the Trent McDuffie pick there for the Philadelphia Eagles, not as a Giants fan, but as an analyst's point of view. So, Tap, you are on the clock with the 19th pick to the New Orleans Saints.
I think – since you took Ridder, I think we're going to have to go wide receiver here. It's a toss-up for me, man. It's either Wilson or Olave, but I think ultimately Garrett Wilson's a little bit better. So I'm going to go with Garrett Wilson here.
I don't hate that pick at all.
No, not at all. It needs desperately.
It just sucks every draft. I'm like, I want this guy, and I end up wanting like 30 guys to be on the Giants.
All right, so now we are on the clock with the 20th pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we have Malik Willis went 6th overall to the Panthers. Kenny Pickett is also gone, the hometown kid. I think at this point, Pittsburgh Steelers are going to pass on quarterback. And, man, this is a tough one. I'm going to go Derek Stingley for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think helps solidify that defense a little bit more. You got Minka Fitzpatrick. I'm going to pass on quarterback here. The best tackle available, according to PFF, is Bernard Raymond, who has good college tape, did not look good at the whatchamacallit? Why am I blanking out here?
Senior Bowl?
Yeah, Senior Bowl. Thank you. So, all right, Frank, you are on the clock with the New England Patriots 21st pick.
So, I was going to go Stingley for the Patriots, but I think they, even though they traded for Devontae Parker, I think they're going to go wide receiver as well. And I think they're going to take Chris Olave here. Yeah, I do.
So, I think these guys might have the answer. So I'll ask Nick Filato. Prior to N'Keal Harry, who is the only other wide receiver, or who was the last wide receiver drafted by New England Patriots in the first round?
Prior to N'Keal Harry, Aaron Dobson was a second round pick, I believe. Malcolm Mitchell was a fourth round pick. So would it be as far back as like in the 90s?
Yes, sir.
Is it Glenn?
It is Terry Glenn.
Holy crap. that is insane. I was trying to go through in my mind and I was like, I think that's Terry Glenn. Yeah, that's wild.
N'Keal Harry was the first wide receiver taken in the first round by the New England Patriots since Terry Glenn. So I don't see them going wide receiver here. I do like it, though. Hey, I mean, you got Mac Jones last year. To me, oh, man, Tyler Linderbaum seems like the ultimate New England Patriot pick. I mean, he doesn't have to start for them at center. They did lose they traded their guard, so he could slide over to guard as well here. Kenyon Green still on the board. Zion Johnson still on the board as well.
No, so, the ultimate pick for the Pats is like some D3 guy that no one's ever heard of.
Or like a Duke. I was looking for like a big linebacker. You know, N'Kobe Dean doesn't really fit what they do, I don't think. You know, I think Devin Lloyd would have been a good pick for them there. But
Frank.
No, that's okay. I was just gonna say I think they get their Wes Welker, Julian Edelman replacement with Chris.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. Go ahead, Nick.
I said the fact that Jermaine Johnson is still on the board is wild, and I want to make that pick for Green Bay, but Green Bay, I think they have wide receiver penciled in with one of these picks. So it's my turn to make this pick, right?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I'm gonna go with can you click on the wide receivers that are available?
Sure.
Thank you. So I'm going to probably go with Jahan Dotson here. I think Dotson is an exceptional route runner, one of the best in this class. Good, sure-handed type of guy. He's not the biggest. He's not the most imposing. He has good play speed, I'd say, but his precise route running and his ability to be where he's supposed to be is going to appeal to Aaron Rodgers. But I do like the idea of a Treylon Burks, who is kind of like a gigantic Debo Samuel, or at least he was at Arkansas. But I think I value someone like Dotson more than I do Burks, even though I like his game as well.
All right. Sounds good.
What's the possibility that you think Green Bay just like throws a wrench into this and just does something that's going to annoy Aaron Rodgers all over again?
It could realistically happen, but you need to give Aaron Rodgers somebody to throw the football to. Right now, his receivers are Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers, who they don't seem to like that much, and they drafted him in the third round last year, and then Juwan Winfrey. Like they need wide receivers. And if Chris Olave was there, that was a pencil it in. Don't need to look at anything else, but he was off the board. And I like Jahan Dotson a lot too. So that's where I went that way.
Who is Green Bay's kind of tight end?
Their tight end is a
white guy.
Bobby Tonyan, Big Bob. Bobby Trees too.
All right, Tap. Let's see if we can get through this to a 36 pick. We got 20 minutes of Nick left. So let's see if we can burn through this. So the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. Who are you going here?
I think the Cardinals steal Tyler Lindebaum.
All right.
Pairs him with Big Will Hernandez for the greatest offensive line in the world.
All right, let's see. So the Dallas Cowboys are on the clock. It is now my turn to pick for an NFC East rival. They have needs here being offensive line, defensive line, linebacker. God, I would hate to be in this situation, but Zion Johnson makes a ton of sense for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that was basically why I took Tyler Lindebaum for the Cardinals in front of the Cowboys. Cause I've been saying for weeks now that I'm like, someone like the Cowboys is going to get someone really good at 24. Someone great is going to fall to them.
The rich gets richer. I mean, Devontae Constantly. Wyatt wouldn't be a bad pick there. Maybe Nakobe Dean. But again, I think they just continue to invest assets on that offensive line. So, Zion Johnson, Dallas Cowboys. I mean,
their line is getting old, and they are losing guys.
The one thing that Jerry Jones has always done a good job is that keeping that offensive line fresh, replenishing it. I mean, a lot of people laughed at him when he drafted Frederick in the first round too. But hey, it hasn't resulted in anything. But kept their offensive line fresh. So. Frank the Tank, Buffalo Bills, 25th pick. Let's go. This is a no-brainer, right, Frank?
No. Who is it? Jermaine Johnson, you think? I was kind of struggling with it, you know? I want to take a running back for him. No, you're probably right. It's probably Jermaine. He's probably the best player left on the board right now.
I mean, honestly, if Jermaine Johnson is still on the board with the 25th pick, the Giants could then trade down from 5, pick up 2 additional first, and I'd still be happy with that trade if we ended up with Crosser, Aquanu at 7, Jermaine Johnson, and another player on top of that. I mean, that would be heaven for Giants fans. Nick, you are on the clock with the Tennessee Titans 26th pick.
Awesome. I think for this, I'm going to go with somebody who's probably a little bit better as a run blocker than he is as a pass protector, and that's Kenyon Green. If he's still on the board, I believe he is, but PFF just has him ranked far down for whatever reason. I think he fits the identity of what Mike Vrabel is trying to do with Derrick Henry and the rushing attack down there. And they do need some upgrades on the offensive line to pair with Ben Jones and Taylor Lewan. And I remember they drafted the kid out of, North Dakota State, Dylan Redunce right here. Yeah, in the second round last year, who looks like he's going to be the right tackle. Kenyon Green can play so many different positions for you. So I like this fit with Tennessee.
I like that. It's a position I need for them. Absolutely. All right. Tap, you on the clock. Tampa Bay, 27th pick. You're muted, Tap.
27, Tampa Bay. I think I'm going to go with Devontae Wyatt for them. They obviously need someone to pair up with Vita Vea. Not sure if Sue is coming back. Not sure what's going on with the JPP situation as well. So I'm going to go with Devontae Wyatt.
All right. I don't hate that pick at all. So let's see. The Green Bay Packers on the clock. So we did go with Jahan Dotson earlier with the 22nd pick. Here I am going to go with Bernard Raymond. They did lose pieces on the offensive line. They need to replenish. So I think the tackle is a need here for the Green Bay Packers. Not Raymond it is. What are your thoughts real quick, Nick, on Raymond? Because PFF does have him ranked pretty high. I think it was 13th.
Yeah, Raymond is he's light on his feet. He's a good athlete. He was a former tight end who made the transition over.
And a wrestler. Right.
Off the line. I'm not 100%. I mean, probably have it in my evaluation. I did it a little bit ago. But he is somebody who does seem to understand leverage, although his pad level will rise a little bit. I think he has all the upside in the world to be a very, very good pass protector, which is king in the NFL. And I don't think he's a deficient run blocker either. I think there's still, as I said before, a lot of meat on that bone of development that he can really kind of, if he gets with a good offensive line coach and isn't thrust into action, even though I think he can start, he can really develop into something special. Probably ideally somewhere later in the first round. It's not somebody that I'm entertaining for the Giants at 5 or 7, or even if they trade back to like 15, but I like the prospects of a uber athletic dude who is new to the position.
Ryman or Penning?
So Ryman probably, see, this is interesting because let me check what I have for my grades. So Penning, like, people were like creaming over this dude, but like, he's like really bad technically. Like, this dude holds all the time. Like, he's not like, I get it. Like, he has highlight reel type stuff in terms of slamming guys.
He brings tenacity. He has attitude. But the problem is, how many offensive penalties is he going to get you a game?
Yeah. And then it's not even just because he brings that tenacity. It's also because he holds, like, he's not good with his hands. I have Penning ranked higher than Ryman right now. And I think it's mainly just because of the length and the allure and the upside, because he is also a phenomenal athlete, but that dude needs a lot of work. He's definitely not somebody that is technically advanced. I remember I said a while back that I thought I probably wouldn't take him in the first round. Now, with the way tackles are being valued, maybe you could be had in the back end of the first round. I don't have a first round grade on either of the players, though.
Really?
Okay. What do you think about some of the guys?
The way I grade, like, I probably won't have 32 first round grades. Like, I will only have like 15 or something like that. Obviously, there's going to be 32 though. So it's like, just because I don't have a first round grade on them doesn't mean that they won't be selected.
Right. Yeah. No. Understood. Yeah. Frank, you had a question.
I was just going to ask about, you know, some guys like Seton Frere and Tyler Smith, and, you know, compared to Ryman and Penning, and, you know,
let's save that for the 36 pick when we get there as option for the Giants. Let's see if we could burn through the rest of these picks real quick.
Can you filter on the cornerbacks for me? Because I think I'm going to go cornerback here, and then probably whoever's picking 30 is going to go wide receiver. But I really like Andrew Booth. I think he's, you know, with the fact that the Chiefs are, you know, trying to, you know, they were supposedly trading for James Bradbury, but they're not actually trading for James Bradbury, which is fine. As far as I'm concerned, I think they're going to go cornerback with one of these two picks, and I'm going to go with Andrew Booth Jr. for them.
All right. Nick, you are on the clock with the Chiefs' next pick at 30.
Yeah, can you just show me the big board real quick?
Yeah, this is pretty much it.
They ended up signing Justin Reed, if I'm not mistaken, to replace. Yes, they did. Now I'm just looking right here. You just went Andrew Booth. That's a good pick. They already have investments in their linebacker position. So let me just see the wide receivers who are available.
Sure.
I feel like I'm drafting a lot of wide receivers, just the way this is falling right now. Yeah, I'm going to go with, in this situation, I think I'm going to go with Treylon Burks, and he is a totally different skill set than what Tyreek Hill offered the Chiefs. So this is going to be an interesting type of marriage, but this is a big body physical dude who can do a lot of different things for you. He's good in contested catch situations, doesn't have excellent play speed, but I do think they're looking at going with a wide receiver. I was going to entertain safety, but I then remembered that Justin Reed signed with them to replace Tyrann Mathieu.
Well, Treylon Burks is a good compliment because, like you mentioned, Mecole Hardman can almost fills the similar role that Tyreek Hill did as that speedster. So he's a good compliment to Mecole Hardman, who will probably be expected to step up in the absence of Tyreek Hill.
Absolutely.
31st pick, Bengals.
I need to look at the board. What are we looking at as far as linemen here?
So they did – they signed Lalel Collins. I think their offensive line might be okay at this point.
Had a lot of people.
Yeah, they did. They, I mean, Dylan Parham is probably the best available interior offensive lineman. And then you got Abraham Lucas at tackle, which I think they're okay right now because they got Jonah Williams, if I'm not mistaken. And then Lalel Collins, which they signed. So I think this is a luxury pick for the Bengals.
What are we looking at for corner here?
So at cornerback, I think Kalir
I mean, like they obviously have Mr. Superstar Eli Apple himself, but they only brought him back for a 1 year. So with that thinking, I'd probably go with Elam out of Florida for right. corner for them.
Sounds good. Let's do it. Now, this is what we were talking about earlier with the Detroit Lions passing on the quarterback at two with Malik Willis taking Aiden Hutchinson. And the guy that I mentioned being there at 32 is still there for the Detroit Lions. So I am doing it again, Matt Corral to the Detroit Lions, 32nd overall.
Nice.
All right, Frank, you are on the clock. We are now into the second round, 33rd pick, Jacksonville Jaguars. And N'Kobe Dean has fell to the second round.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think N'Kobe Dean is, you know, they need a linebacker. I think, didn't they cut linebacker? Miles Jack, yeah.
Miles Jack.
I think they signed somebody, though, too, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to look real quick, though.
Well, they signed half of the NFL, didn't they? Free agency.
They signed Fully Side of Luakon, but they still need, I mean, their will linebacker right now is Shaq Quarterman, who I think was a kid out of like Miami a while back. So yeah, they could definitely use N'Kobe Dean.
All right, Nick, you're on the clock with the Detroit Lions again with the 34th pick.
Yeah, just scroll down a little bit. I like a lot of the people that I see right now. Okay, you still got Boye Mafe, but I went with homeboy before. I'm going to go with Lewis Cine right here. This dude is a really good safety who is one of the best run support safeties, who also has range. He played on a great defense, and I think he's a very interesting player. And I also like Jalen Petrie, but I went with Cine here.
All right, Tap, you're on the clock. 35th pick, New York Jets.
I absolutely hate it, but I think I'm going to go with Leo Chanel here for them.
I do. I like that pick. Where is he? Did I pass him?
Yep. Yeah, he's right there.
Dude.
All right. So, real quickly, let's come back to Frank's question. I know we are knocking on the door of time there, Nick, before you turn into a pumpkin. So, options for the Giants at offensive tackle if they do not get one at 5-7 here with the 36th pick.
Yeah, I think the number one option if they do not get it in the first round would be Abraham Lucas out of Washington State. He was the right tackle. Yeah, he was the right tackle there for them. But in this scenario, we already got, what was it, Ike Ekwonu, and then we drafted Sauce, right?
Yes.
Yes. So I think if we look at the big board right now, this is I think the Giants are in an interesting spot. I have one guy on my mind. He's a little bit raw. I'm not making this pick, though. Whose turn is it to make the pick?
It is my turn to make the pick, but – I want to revisit Frank's question about offensive tackles that could be had later on. So one name that our boy Chad Forbes keeps bringing up is the Jamari Sawyer.
Yeah, Jamari Sawyer. He's a good player, man. I mean, he's somebody who I feel like he could play guard. He could play tackle. He might be more of a guard. I don't have my notes in front of me at the moment, but I think
that's why he's projected. Yeah. More as a guard than a tackle.
Yeah. If I pull my grade up on Sawyer, I'm pretty sure I had like a solid grade on him. It was a high third round, fringe second round type of player. I don't have any of my notes in front of me at the moment, but I remember I came away from his film saying this is somebody who, if the Giants were to go in this direction, say in the third round, here's a lot of traits that can be developed, and I think he could be a solid to above average NFL player.
Reportedly, the Giants are infatuated with this player. So,
see, that's excellent to hear. Now, there's a lot of reports out there that are bullcrap, but that would also be great. You gotta look too, man. This is somebody, the Giants, at least Joe Judge did this, and I think a lot of NFL teams are coming on to this. You want players who can play multiple positions along your offensive line because the NFL is brutal, as we saw with injuries. Nick Gates, that was a brutal injury. We had Billy Price to plug him in. He was an actual center. He didn't really play like an actual center. No shot at Billy Price, but he wasn't all that great. So I think that's something the Giants have to look at. But in this specific scenario, we already addressed the right tackle position. So I'm probably not looking at offensive line with all these guys on the board right now. I think there's a lot of good players left right here.
Well, I get to make this pick. So, yeah. But Tyler Smith, how far up do you think a team should come for Tyler Smith?
So I have not watched Tyler Smith's film. Okay. But what I've heard about Tyler Smith is he has a similar type of Trevor Penning trait where he's a penalty waiting to happen. And he is very, very wildly inefficient with the way he uses his hands, tonguing, going outside, grabbing cloth. He has all the upper body strength that you want, but that stuff's going to draw a lot of flags and be exploited in the NFL. But I haven't gotten my eyes on it yet, but that's something that I've heard. And that's kind of what I collected just from people talking about Tyler Smith.
All right. So what you're saying is that the Giants need to take a tackle by the 36th pick, at least.
That'll go Abraham Lucas. And I've seen him in passing studying other players, and I liked what I saw, but I haven't done a full evaluation on him quite yet. But then there's also like Ryman could fall. You know, you have Petit Freer. I think he's going to struggle with strength in the NFL, but he's still somebody who was a five-star recruit who is very long and also a really, really good athlete. Ideally, you wouldn't want to pick him at 36. I think ideally you want to make sure you get a tackle with either 5 or 7. And I think that's with the top three. I think that's the hope that Joe Shane has, at least. But we'll see come draft time.
All right. Nick, I'm going to ask you. You know what? I'm going to defer. I'm going to defer the 36 pick to you, Nick. What are your options here? I know that so the Giants could also really use wide receiver. With the players on this board here, I mean, David Ojabo fell to us in the second round. Yes, he has the Achilles injury. Cam Akers seemed to come back from it fine. You still have Boye Mafe on the board here as well, since the Giants did not get an edge defender in the first round. But then you also still have quite a few wide receivers still on that board as well. You got Sky Moore, George Pickens. What are you doing here, Nick?
Me, I'm probably going with Boye Mafe here. And Boye Mafe is a little raw. He's not great with his hands quite yet, but he is an elite type of athlete that I feel like would thrive well as a Sam type of linebacker edge within the scheme of Wink Martindale. But I lean towards some of these safeties. I have an infatuation with Jalen Petrie. I really like Daxton Hill. I think Jaquan Brisker is a good player. But if I had to pick one of these players, I think I'm going to go Mafe, even though there's still some, I would say, technical flaws that I'm not too in love with.
Hey, you can always trade back from 7 or 5 and then get those 2 picks from the Saints. Pick up a guy like Jermaine Johnson, then maybe a cornerback if he's still available. So
I think Mafe is
so, are you going with Mafe over Ojabo simply because of the injury?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I would go Ojabo. Ojabo is a good player. I think I had a first-round grade on Ojabo, and he's somebody that scares me in terms of the run defense. That's definitely concerning, but he can have a really big impact as a pass rusher, and I'm hoping that once he gets into the NFL and gets a little bit more football under his belt, he'll become a better run defender with better coaching.
Okay.
So I have a question, you know, regarding Mafe, and just, you know, I feel like there's like a break-even point with, you know, you've got Aziz, who is probably like a 1B edge. Does Mafe have the potential upside of being a 1A, or are we going to have like 2 1Bs? Because for me, I'd rather kind of skip on another 1B edge and get another potential stud in another position, rather than kind of pairing 2 1Bs together.
Right now he's a 1B, and that's kind of the issue that I have with this one pick, to be honest, because he's not a 1A. He needs to develop a lot more pass rushing moves, consistency, getting to his second move. Sometimes it gets glued to the block, but he has all of the traits to become a 1A once all of the pass rush plan things, I think, can be refined a little bit. He's not the run defender that a Jermaine Johnson is or anything like that, but he's not deficient in that area. As of right now, Frank, I would say he is a 1B, and the Giants would be going into the season with the 2 1Bs, which I agree with you, I don't think is ideal. And I think that's the sacrifice you make when you go a Ahmad Sauce Gardner and pass on, say, a Kayvon Thibodeau, a Trayvon Walker, a Jermaine Johnson, or an Aiden Hutchinson in round one. Is you're going to be looking at the David Ojabo, who is hurt, could be a 1A if he's not hurt, and then the Boye Mafes of the world. Now, I think Boye Mafe is probably going to end up being a first round pick because the elite athletic ability and testing that he has. Now, it's not all about testing. It's also just watch his first step and how he gets up the pass rushing arc. Similar as to why I also entertained Arnold Ebiketie here, the kid from Penn State. I think he has upside to be a 1A as well, and he has similar pass rushing burst and explosiveness that Boye Mafe possesses as well. So those are two names that I feel like we should pay attention to. Although I think Mafe might be drafted before the Giants pick at 36. There's still a world where he's not, just because this, you know, how the NFL draft goes, and there's only 36 picks to kind of select from. But I do, I like what you, how you approach that though, Frank, because I would agree that he's not a 1A. I don't know if you're going to get a 1A in that spot of the draft.
Probably not. No.
Is there a 1A on the board there, in your opinion?
I'm sorry?
Is there a 1A on the board, in your opinion?
So let's see. I'm pulling up the list right here. Carl Loftus is gone. Walker's gone. Johnson, Thibodeau, and Hutch are all gone.
Well, at any position, do you think Jalen Petrie is a 1A?
See, it's weird to look at it like that, because it all depends on the defenses and the usage. Jalen Petrie is somebody who you could put at safety. You could put an overhang. You could put him at as a linebacker. I mean, he's worn so many hats for several different defenses while he was at Baylor. And similar with Jaquan Brisker, he's somebody that can do so many different things. Daxton Hill, he did a lot within Mike McDonald's system, and also what he did with Don Brown. But he ideally would be like a slot nickel type of defender, which would be great for the Giants. But the Giants selected Ahmad Sauce-Gardner before, so I'm like, maybe we should get the pass rush now. Even though Wink Martindale said, we can scheme pass rush, I need guys who can cover. If you really believed in that philosophy, then you don't go Boye Mafe there, and you go with a Daxton Hill, and you have him be your slot defender. And now you have dudes along the entire secondary who can really thrive as man coverage corners.
Our last defensive coordinator said that we could scheme pass rush too, and that didn't work out all that well. So let's go get the player. So, Nick, I really do appreciate your time. I don't want to keep you any further. Guys, do you have any last questions or closing remarks for Nick before we have to let him go?
Not really.
No.
Good to
what kind of shampoo do you use, Nick?
What kind of shampoo? Oh, Head and Shoulders, man. I don't like dandruff, you know, and I don't have dandruff, luckily, but, you know, you don't want those little, like, lice-looking things jumping out and just chilling on your shoulders and stuff.
We're looking a lot like Troy Polamalu these days anyway, so it's no surprise AB using Head and Shoulders, so.
That's true. Good point. Thank you. That's a compliment.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it, man. I know that you're on a deadline. You're free to hang out if you want to. But
yeah, I would if I didn't have obligations, man, because this is
fun. I know you got to go. I don't want to keep you. Thank you so much. Tell everybody where they can find you again.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Nick Filato, just my name. I'm boring like that. And then you can find my written work at Big Blue View, and then at Giants Country Sports Illustrated with Patricia Traina, and then my podcast, Big Blue View Radio, and then also myself and Dan Schneier host the Big Blue Banter podcast, and that's you can find that anywhere you get podcasts. It's a solid listen, so give us a check.
Nick, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you, and happy draft season.
Happy draft season, boys.
Thanks, Nick.
Appreciate it. Good stuff.
All right, boys. So, was there anything that stood out to you, or anything that you wanted to see done differently?
I mean, there's so many good players left on the board at 36. It's like mind-boggling. I wish
same shit too, Frank. I'm like, man, it would really help to have some additional picks. Like, I think Nick was talking about it earlier. If the Giants traded back from 5 to 8, right, picking up two additional second rounders would certainly be beneficial. Because you're looking at, if Leo Chanel didn't go in the first round, you're looking at a guy like maybe Leo Chanel at linebacker for the Giants in that second round. David Ojabo and Boye Mafe still being on the board. Like Nick had mentioned, Jalen Petrie, Jaquan Brisker.
I love Jalen Petrie, man. That guy is built like – he just is built like a football player.
And let's face it, the Jets gave up 3 seconds to go from – I believe it was 6-3 in 2018.
Yeah. When they got Darnold, yeah.
So, you know, if the Giants move back 3 picks, that's something that I would love to see the Giants do, is pick up a few additional second rounders. Because at that point in the second round, you're still talking about starters. So these aren't depth pieces. You're still talking about finding starters on either the offense or the defense. And your boy's still there too, Frank. George Pickens.
Yeah, I know.
So if Giants want to go wide receiver, George Pickens is still available in the second round also, if they had two additional ones.
There's so many good players left on the board. But, I mean, I think that happens every year in the draft. So, you know, there's chances that, you know, Yeah, I know you grabbed a couple quarterbacks late in, or a couple quarterbacks went late in the first round. There's a chance somebody's going to trade up for, you know, one of those picks, you know, to grab a quarterback too. So it would have been fun to do trades, but it's just too hard in a scenario like this.
I mean, yeah, it's hard, and it's unpredictable too, right? You don't know what a team's willing to give up, who's going to come up for it. So certainly for mock draft purposes, we don't do them. But what was that, Tom?
If we did trades, we would sit here for 4 hours and
just everybody would trade back.
I think we only got through the first 10 picks. You know, Nick was on for a good hour and a half, and then we were like an hour through. We were only like 10 picks in. So
yeah, it took us like 45 minutes to get to the seven.
Yeah, so I know I knew Nick was on time, but we got through it though. That was good though. I do appreciate Nick's time. Frank, I know you love his work as well too. He does a really great job with his draft prospects, breaking it down, really providing the analysis. So great job there by Nick, and I thank him for joining the show. And I thank you guys for also joining the show, for filling in for Murph and Tino. Who knows? This might be a new thing going forward. I don't know what we call it. Frankly, Mage on Tap. How about that? Sounds like a good name. Tap.
I'll be. I don't know, man. I like Tap Talk.
Tap Talk?
Tap Talk.
That's awful. That's awful. That's awful. I do appreciate you guys coming on. Thank you so much for this. And that's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love.